such and such a place shall my camp be. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to that place, which was the man of God had told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing, and he called his servants, and he said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And he said, you go and you see where he is, that I may send and seize him. And it was told him, behold, he is down in Dothan. So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. It's good to see everyone this evening. Actually, as of our last congregational meeting, we had decided as a group that we were going to make some changes in our worship structure. And so some of the things that we've done over the last couple of months has proven very profitable. As of May 1st, we started in earnest with this new format. And one of the provisions that we had made in that format was that on the third Sunday evening of each month, we would dedicate a good amount of time to prayer. And so just in a few moments, I'm going to offer an invitation, and then we will continue, and our elders will lead us in a word of prayer about all of the things that are of a concern today from our friends and our family, the ones that are ill, about our congregation and the work that we're doing and all of those things. So we will do that in just a moment. But it's certainly good to have all of you here. I was afraid when I put my name in the bulletin as the one having to speak that it would be empty, but I appreciate you being here. It's an encouragement to me. So this story in chapter 6 of 2 Kings, I love this story. I think it's one that we don't really talk about very much, and it may not even be very familiar to you. It's right in the middle of a lot of things that are talked about Elisha. Chapter 5 talked about Naaman being cured from leprosy when Elisha told him to go dip in the Jordan. The axe head is right at the beginning of chapter 6. He talks about the widow later. This story is right in the middle of all of that. And it is, you know, the king of Syria, he is dedicated to destroying Israel. And every time he tries to make arrangements, Elisha, through his ability to prophesy because of his faith in God, has told the king of Israel for his protection not to be in a particular place. And it's frustrated the king of Syria. And now he has decided, I'm going to destroy Elisha. This is my problem. He is the one that is causing me not to have victory over Israel. I'm going to destroy Elisha. And so he has gathered up his army and his horses and his chariots, and he's gone down and he surrounded the small town of Dothan in order to destroy Elisha. And that's where we find this scene that we just said. The servant of Elisha comes outside early in the morning and is startled by the fact that we're surrounded. We're surrounded by the enemy. We're surrounded on all sides. They are pressing in on us. It is certain. What do we do? This is dreadful. They face certain doom. And Elisha says to him those words that we just ended with. Those that are with us are much more than those that are with them. And you'd think that this would be the time that the music sounds and dun da da, and the cavalry comes rushing in. Or if Shane was here, it would be a reference to Star Wars. The rebel forces would come to the rescue. But that's not at all what Elisha does. Continue with me in verse 17 if you're following along, or just listen. Then Elisha prayed. And he said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." He's talking about his servant. Elisha prays to God, open his eyes. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way. This is not the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them away to Samaria. As I read that, I've always wondered. It's such an amazing, glorious scene to even imagine that all of a sudden you can see the powerfulness of God and his protection. I've always wondered if Elisha could see that already, or if he just knew it by faith, that God will protect us. God's will be done. This army of the king of Assyria is no threat in the face of God and God's power. I wonder if he could see that. But certainly the servant could not until God opened his eyes. He was not blind. He was not incapable of seeing. He could see all of the physicalness around him. He could see the armies and the horsemen and the chariots of the king of Syria. But he couldn't see what Elisha wanted him to see until God opened his eyes. And then for a moment, he got a glimpse into the spiritual realm. He could see God's forces. And this army, this great army of the Syrians, was small and paled in comparison to the glory, to the majesty of the armies of God. But this was not a war story where the cavalry runs in, or a sci-fi movie, or anything like that. This was real. And the army of God didn't come swooping in. Elisha's point to his servant was, "You can't see them? Open your eyes. They've been there all along." God's army is always present. God's forces are always available. And servant, you can now glimpse into the spiritual realm and see God working. He's not the only one that has witnessed into the spiritual realm. You'll remember the story in Acts chapter 7 of Stephen, after he's preached the gospel of Christ, and he's preached it boldly and firmly with great confidence. And those that were hearing him ridiculed and mocked and then stoned him. And as Stephen was being stoned to death, he says, "The spiritual realm is open to me. I can see the Son of God at the right hand of God." And God takes him. God's forces are always there in spite of the fact that we are surrounded by evil. And as we live in this world, there are forces that are seeking our destruction. The devil is working like a lion trying to find a way to conquer us. What we have to know is, regardless of whether God rescues us physically or eternally, God's forces are always there. That encourages me. I hope that it does you. I hope that you can recognize that God works in our lives, that He blesses us. Things don't always go the way we think that they should, but they always go by the will of God. It's such a blessing. You know, in our Sunday morning class that Nathan is teaching about Amos, we talked this morning about taking care of the sojourner. Because why? You were sojourners, as Amos is talking to Israel. We even sing a song as it would apply to us in our Christian lives. This world is not my home. We're sojourners. And we are surrounded by and oppressed by, and it could even seem like certain doom from all of the things that Satan would throw at us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And stay with me for a moment. I'm not changing subjects, but this is the invitation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is addressing one of the issues that the Corinthian brethren were having, and that was taking each other to court. And Paul reprimands them, saying, why would you take your cases before the unrighteous? Is there no one among you that can help you judge between you? Why would you take it to the unrighteous? In verse 9, he describes the unrighteous. After he's reprimanded for them for this, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. We're sojourners in this land, this world that is full of that. Do you recognize yourself in that list at all? I do. And that was Paul's point, really, to them. In verse 11, he says, and such were some of you. Such were some of you, surrounded, engulfed by the devil and his wickedness and his power, facing sure doom, pressed in on every side. How are we going to get a glimpse of the spiritual realm? Paul answers it immediately. He says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord and by the Spirit of our God. Just as Elisha's servant could not see that until his eyes were opened, we may be living in a world full of sin, but God's army, His greatness, has already overcome Satan and all of those tools we just read. He's already defeated Satan. It might be even tonight that you do not enjoy the great benefits of being able to call on the armies of our Almighty God. But the answer is simple. Be washed. Be washed in the waters of baptism. You'll be sanctified, set apart for His glory. And though we've been sinful and wrong, you will be justified. You'll be made right in His sight. If you're subject to that invitation and to that message, then I invite you to come as we sing our invitation song.
My eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast.